capital, all female listeners. Great to hear from and to read their texts as well.
Yeah, at least your wife listens to the program. Mine doesn't. Anyway, that's a separate issue.
I'm Peter Holden. Unions are today launching a new campaign calling to change the rules so working people have more secure jobs and fair pay increases. It comes as companies continue to rack up significant profits while wages remain flat and around 40% of the workforce deals with insecure work. ACTU Secretary Sally McManus believes big business has too much power and it's time to give ordinary workers a fair go.
The campaign illustrates the ordinary life of working people. We're really struggling to pay the bills. They keep going up. We're worried about our jobs being casualised, and we can bring about change to this situation.
Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk is travelling to the state's north to assess the damage caused by 4 days of torrential rain and flooding. The region between Cairns and Townsville has been declared a disaster by the state government and a catastrophe by the Insurance Council of Australia. The Department of Education says a stranded group of primary school students on school camp at the Echo Creek Adventure Park near Tully will be airlifted today if weather permits. 3 children with gastro were airlifted to Cairns on Saturday. However, authorities decided it was safer to leave the remaining students where they were. Michelle Berry from the Bureau of Meteorology told ABC Radio more rain is expected to hit the region.
We could see, you know, sort of moderate totals there today, more around 30 to 50 millimetres around that Innisfail to Tully zone. So nothing too heavy expected there, but certainly some showers likely through today.
South Australian Labor has pledged $8 million towards an Aboriginal Centre of Excellence at Alberton Oval should it win next Saturday's state election. Labor's pledge comes just a handful of days after SA Best leader Nick Xenophon vowed to commit $7.5 million towards the project if his party wins the balance of power. Premier Jay Weatherall says the centre will assist young Indigenous people from high school to higher education and beyond.
The investment here will create an Aboriginal Leadership Academy. It will also create a Sports Science Centre of Excellence, which will reach out to the world to attract people to come here to study, to have their sporting data analysed, and those services exported to the world.
A teenager has suffered life-threatening head injuries in an accident on New South Wales' mid-north coast. The 17-year-old was riding in a car driven by another male 17-year-old when it left the road and collided with a tree at Crowdy Head near Taree on Saturday afternoon. The driver had a concussion and was treated locally while the passenger was airlifted to John Hunter Hospital. British police have identified more than 200 witnesses and are looking at more than 240 pieces of evidence in their investigation into a nerve agent attack on a Russian ex-spy and his daughter. Former double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia have been in hospital in a critical condition since last Sunday when they were found unconscious on a bench in the southern English cathedral city of Salisbury. Home Secretary Amber Rudd praised the work of investigators.
They are proceeding with speed, with professionalism, but we are putting in enormous resources.
And briefly, the European Union and Japan have urged the US to grant them exemptions from metal import tariffs, with Tokyo calling for calm-headed behaviour and a dispute that threatens to spiral into a trade war. This is Air News. South Africa edged ahead in the second test against Australia, as Air Sports' Graham Davis reports.
The second day produced another tightly fought contest that saw South Africa finish with a lead of 20 runs at 7 for 263. Australia's only success before tea was Cummins bowling night watchman Rabada for 29. Then 4 wickets fell for 28 runs, with Stark bowling Amla for 56 and Elgar caught behind off Hazelwood for 57 after the pair had added 88 for the third wicket. Mitchell Marsh removed Du Plessis for 9 and De Bruyne for 1, both LBW. But De Villiers produced an innings full of class to be unbeaten on 74 and to ensure a lead for his side. Graham Davis in Port Elizabeth for Air Sports.
Melbourne have kept alive their remarkable round one record, winning their NRL season opener for the 14th straight year. The Storm kick-started their premiership defence with a Cameron Munster-led 36-18 dismantling of Canterbury and Perth on Saturday night. In the early game at the new Perth Stadium, the New Zealand Warriors ran in 6-4 to defeat the South Sydney Rabbitohs 32-20. At ANZ Stadium in the late afternoon game, premiership favourites the Sydney Roosters suffered a shock 10-8 loss to the West Tigers. In Aussie rules, the GWS Giants have leapt to second on the AFL women's ladder after an 18-point win over the Western Bulldogs in Canberra. The win continued the theme of upsets after Collingwood knocked off Brisbane by 14 points a few hours prior. And in Super Rugby, the Reds defeated the Bulls 20-14. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Peugeot 2017 plate sale is on. Get 7-year warranty, 7 years roadside assistance, and $500 of accessories. Conditions apply, limited stock. Hurry into your Peugeot dealer today. We've got delays to the airport, roadworks on Arrearden Street between Roby Street and Joyce Drive causing major hassles. Look out for 1,000 cyclists as part of the Gear Up Girl Bike Challenge between Sydney Olympic Park and Cronulla this morning. And in Millers Point, we've got roadworks on the Kent Street northbound on-ramp approaching the bridge. Use the Clarence Street on-ramp instead. This weekend at BCF, Boating, Camping and Fishing Club members get a massive 20% off the entire store. Join Club BCF for free and grab a sweet Easter deal. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp would like to remind you donations can be made to the National Jockeys Trust at any time. The Trust assists jockeys and their families experiencing financial hardship. Next time you back a winner, go to njt.org.au.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer 2017. With over 300 vehicles over 5 acres, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Right now, get a $1,000 go bonus on the whole range of 2017 CX-3, CX-5 and CX-9, plus 12 months free rego, CTP and stamp duty on all CX-3s. Conditions apply. Penrith Mazda, your family-owned and operated Mazda dealer. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, light winds becoming east and northeasterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour. It's going to be a mostly sunny day, 29 degrees. Raymond, what about at Greenacre right now and at Grafton?
It looks beautiful outside, doesn't it? Currently 19 degrees at Greenacre, heading for a top of 29. Up at Grafton for the country championships qualifier today, currently 21 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 25, a possible shower.
Well, there's your answer. There's attacking.
Come on, baby, let's go! Back in, let's go, block it out!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Final hour of the program, we're looking forward to it. Exciting final hour too. Our legend of the game very shortly will be Barry Richards. You know, 4 test matches. We understand why he didn't get the opportunity, but it's a little bit frustrating.
He still has left an extraordinary legacy. Looking forward to talking to Barry Richards.
Absolutely. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. Newcastle fans, stick around as well, because we're going to have a catch up with your coach, Nathan Brown. We'll have Trent Lanscale and Scotty Foster on the program as well. But our legend of the game is the legendary South African cricketer. We can cover off on a little bit of the cricket that's happening over there now. But he did have a season for South Australia. He was phenomenal in that one season in Australia. Averaged over 100 for the state and put some glorious innings together. And he's been good enough to join us on the line from South Africa. Good morning, Barry.
Good evening, good morning, whichever you want. It depends where you live.
Exactly.
But, thanks for having me, guys.
We thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. We're just waking up here to what sounds like it was a fantastic day's cricket over there. Can you give us an understanding of how things played out? A late fight back from the Australians, it would seem.
Yeah, it's an interesting stage. I think AB is obviously the key to what's going to happen. He's in a scenario where he's batting with a tail, and if he decides to go on the attack and he has a little bit of luck, and South Africa get a lead of around 100 or 150, then it puts them in a really good position. So it's very important for Australia to try and limit the damage with AB by perhaps not giving him the strike or trying to attack the other end. So the first hour tomorrow is going to be vitally important for both sides. If Australia can limit the lead to 30 or 40, then it's a really interesting test match.
Yeah, Barry, look, thanks so much for joining us. It's a real honour to have you on our show. Barry, if I could put you in the captain spot, so to speak, overnight, which team or which captain would you prefer to be?
I think right now you'd prefer to be Faf because, you've obviously got a lead. And you've got your premier batsman still at the crease. So you'd fancy your chances of getting a reasonably handy lead. And then if you bowl well in the second innings, I think, you know, Australia's still struggling a little bit in the middle order. They haven't quite got it right. I mean, mm-hmm. David Warner's, you know, AB and David Warner are the two keys. If they get AB out quickly tomorrow, then Australia will, you know, obviously be in a position to attack. And if South Africa have a handy lead and then get Warner out early, then that obviously puts them in the driving seat. So there's a lot of interesting scenarios around them. And the backup players are, you know, obviously very important as well. But I think those are the two key players over the next couple of games that could change the course of the test match. Mm-hmm.
Just on that, while we speak to AB de Villiers, how long do we expect to have him around? Over 100 test matches already for South Africa. He's had times where he's cut back on his schedule. To probably
in test cricket, you mean?
Yeah, to prolong his career. 34 years of age, and as you say, the premier batsman for South Africa. It's almost like one of those situations where it's a joy to have him and enjoy him while you can.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, the guys have got so many options now. You can be an independent contractor. I mean, you know, Chris Gayle has proved that, and you can go to, you can do the swings and roundabouts of the T20 and earn a very good living without having to play test cricket and having to put yourself through the routine of training every day, 5-day test matches, whatever it is. So it's an interesting scenario. I mean, he's still got an RPL contract. How hungry he is you know, that's something only he could answer. I mean, he's got a very good bat contract for $3 million a year, so which requires all three formats, so that might be a little hook to keep him going for a while. But it must be hard, and it must be a big decision for him. He's got a family, and those are other considerations to take into account. You know, we've had fellows like Brendan McCullum retiring because of that very fact. They've got a family and he doesn't want the swings and roundabouts of test cricket. It's a real challenge for the RCC in the years ahead to make test cricket more relevant.
On that very theme, Barry, you've one of the all-time great batsmen. You played only 4 test matches and you were And you're born in an era that before ODIs were huge, before 2020. Do you sometimes wish you were born in a different era where players now, as you said, make so much money in various forms of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different scenario. I mean, I went through Packer, so I was part of the scenario of, you know, the coloured gear, the white ball, the drop-in wickets, the night cricket. You know, that was all Kerry Packer's, the part of the series that we were involved in. So, you know, I was the sort of forerunner of all of that. But, I mean, it would be nice, but if you keep looking back, that's the way you're going to go. You can't do it. You just got to enjoy watching the cricket that you see now. But I do worry a little bit about test cricket. I mean, that's very relevant for guys of my era, you know, the Greg Chappells, the Ian Chappells and people like that who played test cricket and made it relevant. It's a little bit of a worry that it's become, you know, sort of WWE type cricket, which the kids are getting fed every day, and it's a worry to make test cricket, which is the real challenge, relevant.
And unfortunately, a lot of the talk prior to this test match, during the course of this test match, is the way that the two teams are interacting. What have you made of the relationship between the two sides and the impact it has on the interest in the game itself?
Yeah, I mean, that's been disappointing. I think the players are on reflection, you know, given the fact that maybe in a week's time when they've had it's all settled down and they can look back again and say, we didn't do a great job for cricket. We didn't promote the game as we should have. And I think they realise that. I mean, one of the big things that I was brought up and then all the fellows of my era and perhaps just a little bit after my era was respect for the game. And that sometimes appears to go out the window. I know there's a lot of intrusion with television cameras and they're all over the place. And that's something I don't like because there were a few altercations in my time, but there were no TV cameras, so no one knew about it. And you'd wake up the next morning and say, what an idiot I was. And perhaps Warner and De Kock are doing exactly that, saying, what an idiot I was. But it's too late. It's all over social media, and it doesn't reflect well on the game. So, you know, the guys are going to just have to cop it, because if you're earning that much money, there's strings attached, and you've got to make sure that you pull the right ones.
Mm. Yeah, Barry, looking back on your career now, if we can, and as I mentioned earlier, just those four test matches against Australia in that 69-70 summer, which is quite famous. I think it's the only time Australia's ever been whitewashed in a test series, and 200s and 250s from a young Barry Richards. What was test cricket like, and was that little taste that you had, that, do you ever regret not being able to play more test cricket?
Obviously, I mean, that's the pinnacle of what you play the game for, is to represent your country and play as many test matches as you can. I mean, it obviously was frustrating, because, you know, it's probably a little bit worse for me, because I would go to Hampshire and play with Andy Robertson and Gordon Bennett, and both of whom played pretty much 100 test matches. So, you know, there was another little hook in the whole thing from our point of view. But, you know, it was part of what was happening at the time, and it was probably good from a South African point of view that we were isolated, because it turned the country around. But it's going to be one of those things in your life where it's a little bit of a regret. But I guess everybody that's played the game and will have regrets, and that's one of them.
Mm. A little bit closer to home for us, 1970-71, you played for South Australia. How ordinary was the bowling of Dennis Lilly, Graham McKenzie, Tony Lock and Tony Mann when you scored that 325 in the one day?
I mean, every squirrel, even a blind one, picks up an acorn every now and then. That was one of the days where, you know, everything went right. And, I suppose you dream, when you play cricket, you dream about a day like that where, you know, everything came out the middle of the bat, you just played well, you're seeing the ball well, and everything went right. And I regret that it wasn't a six-hour day. I might have knocked off Ponsford. He's got the record for the highest number of runs in the day, but his was a six-hour day, and mine was 5.5.
Right.
So I don't know why. Perhaps Bradman organised that.
Well, I think Barry Ian Chappell's at the other end for most, if not that entire day, and we've had him on this legend spot previously, and he's described your innings that day as the finest batting he's ever seen. Was, you just mentioned, one of those days when everything just went right for you, Barry. You loved out of pocket that time in your career and reproduce it whenever you wanted to, I suppose.
Yeah, it would be nice. unfortunately, cricket is not like that. There are other days when you can't find the middle of the bat, and it's a bit of a struggle. And I guess anybody that's played cricket would realise that. And I think that's probably one of the things that's most satisfying, is when you're actually not playing well and you can still fashion out a score, and people respect you for being tough to get out and tough to be as an opponent. It's not always the days where everything goes right. It's the days when it's not going right, but you still manage to fashion out a score. And I think probably Alan Border was one of the best at that. You know, you always think, well, you know, this guy's not playing terribly well. It won't be long. And then he's got 25, and then he's got 42, and then he's got 62, and you can't get him out.
Yeah.
So, I think those are the sort of days which give you a little bit of satisfaction, because you become a respected opponent.
You mentioned earlier the World Series cricket time. Was that the time, because of your lack of test matches and because of the exclusion of South Africa, that you were able to enjoy time as an international cricketer, as an elite player? And what did you learn from those other players that you rarely got to play against at that level?
I learned that facing four West Indian fast bowlers was not an easy job. And I often talked to Greg Chappell about it. I said, "Gee, I'm glad we didn't have to cope with that, because it was pretty awesome to have that sort of firepower. You know, you have one guy bowling seven overs, one guy bowling six. That's 13 overs. So that's the first hour done and dusted. The next guys come along and they do exactly the same thing. And then it's lunchtime, and the two guys that started off have had an hour plus lunch to have a rest, and they do it all again for the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it was a tougher period for batsmen in that era. So, you know, the fact that, you know, we enjoyed World Series cricket, I think we all got on pretty well, but it was very tough cricket. I don't think I've played tougher cricket, and I think I've spoken to guys like Greg and Viv Richards and people like that and Imran, who said that's the hardest cricket they've played. And for the RCC to not recognise it as even first class is a joke when you watch Zimbabwe playing Bangladesh.
Yeah, surely that has to change, Barry, because I was only a kid. I'm a little bit older than Jimmy, and I can remember World Series cricket. It was just an extraordinary summer. As a player, though, did you get the feeling that you were literally changing cricket?
I think, obviously, the things that were the innovations that Kerry sought for that time was people, I think, from the Australian Cricket Board said, you know, that's why they try to give it the name circuits, because Kerry was trying to reinvent the game in a way which would be attractive to a lot of people. But one of the things that he was red hot on was, you know, they called it a circus, but nothing could have been further from the truth. He said, if I find any collusion from you guys, because it was a winner-take-all scenario. Kerry was very strong on that. He said, whoever wins the game wins the money. If you guys go behind my back and start splitting the money and I find out, you'll all get the sack. And if anybody who knows Packer was not prepared to cross him. So everybody played for the case of wanting the pub to win.
Yep.
But you also knew that you had to, if you wanted to make any money or decent money, you had to win as well. So it was, you know, balls out. Everybody had a full go at everything. And for people to say that there was collusion, they certainly didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm. How much of an influential figure was he? You know, they make mini-series now, Barry, about the influence that Kerry Packer had at that time. How much of and how often would he have contact with the players?
He quite regularly, more so with the Australian players who knew better than you know, guys like us or, you know, the overseas players. But he used to turn up at practice every now and again. We used to crap ourselves a little bit because he used to like to have a little bit of fielding practice in the slips, but we realised he wasn't the most coordinated person of all time, so we didn't want to hit him in the chops. So we used to make sure that we nicked him, that it went over his head and just said, "Oh, bad luck, here we have it next time."
But
he was an awesome man. He really was. I mean, a lot of people give him a lot of flack in Australia, but if he shook your hand and said, "That's the deal," that was the deal. And you know, he was true to his word and everything that he said.
Barry, it's probably an impossible question to answer because talking about World Series cricket, you're talking about the absolute elite players, some of the all-time greats of the game, playing at the peak of their powers. But Barry Richards, what was the best bowler you faced and the best batsman you played against?
Oh, always a tough one to answer. I mean, I'd like a dollar for every time I've been asked that question. I wouldn't have to bother about working anymore. It's conditions under which you play. You know, scenarios, wet wickets. Derek Underwood were very, very tough. You played at the Wacker in the old days where it bounced. You know, Tomo or Lily or Michael Holding or you know Joel Garner. It's very hard to put a finger on, say, who's the best player. You know, is Kohli better than Tendulkar? You know, if he is, it's marginal, and you'll get 50 people. 25 will say Tendulkar, 25 will say Kohli. So yeah. The scenario of a great player is that he's a great player. I mean, Barry Sobers is an all-time best all-rounder, but is he better than Jacques Collis? These figures might suggest that he's not, but he played in a different era. He had no protective gear. He had sometimes uncovered wickets. So it's very hard to put a finger on and say that's the best of all time. It's the only one that really stands out for me is Bradman. He was twice as good as the next bloke in his in his era, and no one that I know of has done that. You know, Tendulkar, Lara, Ponting, Callis, they'll all be about the same, within one or two of each other. But Bradman was twice as good as the next guy. I mean, that's an awesome stat in my mind.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
You mentioned a little bit earlier about cricket as it is today. What's your hopes? What are your fears for cricket moving forward?
My fear is Test cricket, and to make it relevant. I mean, one of the problems is you've got a two distinct divisions of cricket, everybody says, well, why don't you have two divisions of Test cricket? Well, then it's not Test cricket. Test cricket is the ultimate, and that's what you want it to be. And that's the challenge for the RCC, is to make the bottom teams relevant, the Zimbabwes and the Bangladeshes. How do you give them a leg up to make sure that every Test match has a context? That's what I'd like to see. I mean, whether it's going to happen or not is difficult because, you know, T20 has become, something which has expanded, beyond just the cricket lover. It's families and young kids, and they can go for a short period of time and be entertained. But, you know, I look on T20 as an entertainment. It's something that you go to be entertained. No one really remembers the result in a week's time. But Test cricket is relevant. And to try and make that more relevant and more popular is going to be the challenge that the RCC is going to have over the next 10 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Barry, time's beating us, but could I put you on the spot? Australia are leading 1-0. South Africa perhaps have the advantage going to day three of the second test. Who wins this series, Barry?
I tell you what, if I bet 365, would have my money if I knew for sure, but my money is in my pocket because these two teams are so even that it's very, very hard to call a winner in this test series. Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit of luck at the right time, which we'll see one side come out on top, but to call it is very difficult. They're very evenly matched, and it's going to be a good series.
Great cricket.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're so fantastic that we've been able to speak to you, Barry. We do appreciate a little walk down memory lane to have a look at what an absolutely outstanding career, and of course to have a look at this current test series between Australia and South Africa. We really appreciate your time this evening, and great to have you on the program, Barry.
Thanks, guys. Good luck, and enjoy the series.
Thanks so much, Barry.
Will. There he is, the outstanding cricketer, outstanding commentator too, Barry Richards.
The legend himself, yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
For the 14th straight year, Melbourne has won its NRL season opener. Cameron Munster starred for the Storm in the number one jersey to help beat Canterbury 36-18 at Optus Stadium in Perth last night. Coach Craig Bellamy said for the last few years they've made a point of trying to keep the streak going. In the earlier match, also in Perth, the Warriors defeated South 32-20. Rabbitohs coach Anthony Seibold blamed the loss on too many missed tackles and added the team did not look at all impressive from an attacking point of view. And a 79th minute sideline conversion gave the West Tigers a dramatic 10-8 win over the Sydney Roosters at ANZ. Today, Penrith host Parramatta at 4 o'clock, then the Gold Coast play Canberra tonight. South Africa has a 20-run lead over Australia after day two of the second cricket test in Port Elizabeth. At stumps, the home side was 7 for 263. AB de Villiers, the shining light for the crowd, not out on 74 after Elgar and Amlach crawled along at 1.65 and over in the middle session, boring the fans stupid with just 43 runs, which included only two fours. Western Sydney is a step closer to the A-League finals after a 4-1 win over Wellington at Spotless Stadium. The result sees the Wanderers jump Adelaide into fifth spot. In Perth, the Glory had a 3-1 win over the Central Coast. In Super Rugby, Queensland has scored back-to-back wins for the first time since 2014, following a 20-14 win over the Bulls at Suncorp. The Reds came back from 14-10 down at half-time. In other results, the Hurricanes 29 beat the Crusaders 19, Sharks 50, the Sunwolves 22, the Blues 38 over the Lions 35. And very late in the first half, in the match between the Jaguars and the Waratahs in Argentina, the Jaguars lead 26-7. Meantime, Ireland has been crowned Six Nations champions with a match to spare after England's hopes of retaining the title ended with their 22-16 loss to France overnight. Champion jockeys Corey Brown and Glyn Schofield both received costly suspensions at Royal Randwick yesterday today. Schofield has been suspended until April 3 on a careless riding charge on Randwick Guineas winner Kemantari, while Brown was suspended until March 28 after weighing in 1 kilo over after his mount Miscue lost narrowly to Sugarbella. Both are due to commence their suspensions on March 18 and will miss Golden Slipper Day. The Aussie men's hockey team defeated England 2-1 to win the Six Nations tournament in Malaysia. Joanna Konta and Garbine Muguruza have both been knocked out in the second round of the Indian Wells Tennis in California by competitors outside the world top 50. Tiger Woods is in a tie for second late in the third round of the USPGA Tour event in Florida. He's at 8 under par with Brant Snedeker and Justin Rose. They trail Corey Connors, who is at 10 under, and Adam Scott is in a tie for 10th. He's at 4 under in the clubhouse. Aaron Moy returned to Huddersfield for the Premier League match against Swansea overnight. The result was nil all. The Aussie is back after suffering an infected knee. In other results, Man United 2, Liverpool 1, Everton 2, Brighton 0. Newcastle 3-0 over Southampton, West Brom 1, Leicester 4, West Ham 0, Burnley 3, and Chelsea 2-0 over Crystal Palace. Thanks,
and
guys.
Matt Ryan's magnificent save off a Wayne Rooney penalty as well.
Still lost, didn't they? 2-0.
2-0, yeah. But it was spectacular. Yeah. Big dive to the side.
And Moy back. And who is it? Is it Brendan Jones, the goalkeeper that's also been included in that extended squad?
Correct.
Brad Jones, former Liverpool keeper.
And I'll be very self-indulgent really quick before we go to a break. It's
yes.
Tanya's brother's birthday today, so we're going to go for a little lunch afterwards.
Did you love a lunch, you two?
Love a lunch, yeah.
It's my son's 21st on Tuesday, so happy birthday, Mark.
Good on you, Mark.
And Marky. James,
yes?
This is 8 years this weekend you've been putting up with me. Do you believe
eight
that?
8 years, is it?
Black Opal Day, 8 years. Leave that, 10.
Really, Toledo, Batman.
We went down to the Black Opal 1 year, remember?
Yeah. The first and last time we went down.
What happened to that?
It's like many outside broadcasts, isn't it?
They don't want us back, 10.
We went to Wellington once.
They don't want us back there.
Never again.
There's a pattern here.
Yes, exactly.
So there you go.
Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break here, 29 minutes to 10 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After the break, Dean, Bulldog, Richie.
Sky Sports Radio brings you all the weekend harness racing. And on Tuesday mornings, it's On the Pace. Interviews with the winners, intriguing stories, and horses to follow. On the Pace, Tuesday mornings from 10:30, here on Sky Sports Radio.
Take your year up a gear with incredible deals on Volkswagen utes and vans, like the Amarok Core 4x4 Turbo Diesel with the largest trainer's class from just $40,990 drive away, or the Amarok V6 Sportline Turbo Diesel Auto, the most powerful ute in its class, with 180 kilowatts of power on overboost and 3.5-ton towing from just $54,990 drive away. Hurry in for Volkswagen's year in gear deals. They won't last long. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
This month, we're cooking up a storm at Bingley.
What are you cooking, Mum?
It's metaphor for our kitchen and laundry month.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I know there are top brands like Miele, Smeg, Westinghouse and more on display, and are cooking experts in store. And a bonus 10% gift card on selected ovens, cooktops and range hoods.
Come and see what's cooking at Bingley.
That's a metaphor?
No, it's not.
Check out our kitchen and laundry month at Bingley.
Fancy yourself as a bit of a footy tipping ace. How many you got?
Only 3 from 6 so far.
Oh, yeah?
Dragons, Cowboys, Storm. How are you going?
4.
Oh.
If I've tipped the Knights.
Okay.
If so, be rewarded for your NRL tipping skills with the chance to win a trip for two to the Hong Kong International, the Melbourne Cup or the Cox Plate. It's too easy to join the Sky Sports Radio tipping comp. Just go to the Big Sports Breakfast website, click Enter Now on the Fox League predictor, register and opt in to join the Sky Sports Radio League. That's it. Done. Get your friends to join in too. If you haven't got friends, get your family to join in. Enjoy some friendly rivalry throughout the footy season. It's all thanks to our friends at Fox Sports and Ambassador Travel. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, time to speak to Dean Bulldog Richie, as we do every Sunday. Before we get to the games on today, Dino, we want to take your thoughts on. We asked Zorba as well, might ask you. Impressive winners from the first round of footy, not so impressive teams. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. Yeah, it's been a funny old weekend, hasn't it? Some of the teams that we thought would perform well, e.g. the Roosters, I thought were disappointing. But, look, I guess the game I actually covered, Jimmy, so I was there physically, was the Dragons-Broncos game on Thursday night, and I thought the Broncos, they were just terrible. And, look, based on that 80 minutes, I just can't see them making the semi-final.
But every year, though, Dino, we always say you've got to give teams a month to settle into their rhythm, settle into their stride. So if you are a supporter of a team that's lost in round one, you've got still a long season ahead. And if you have a team that's won, don't go off too early.
Yeah, look, it's true, Ray. We're only minutes into the season, but certainly there were some telltale signs. I thought, obviously, the Tigers were very gutsy. I thought Souths were poor. And look, it's hard to digest for a fan, isn't it, guys? When you wait all summer and you get excited about your footy and you're going to round one, everyone's, you know, 16 clubs are full of optimism, and you turn out a bad one, you can't help but feel that, you know, there might be a long year ahead.
The thing about South Sydney is, and this may not be the case at round five, or it may not be the case in round 10, but they have the most expensive centre pairing that you will ever care to see. Like, Dane Gagai is on about 700, Greg Inglis is on at least one. And you just don't get the value out of them in the centre position like you do a fullback.
Yeah, it's funny, Jimmy. I spoke to a few South players in the last couple of weeks, and they're all very excited because, look, let's be honest, the Michael Maguire playing style was very rigid, very structured, and very disciplined. And they seem to think that under Seibold that things would open up a bit more, and there was a bit more sort of, players are a bit more relaxed at training, I guess you could say. But, based on what we saw last night, maybe they need a bit more discipline. Mm.
Hey, Dino, a lot of players who switched clubs this year and a lot of scrutiny. Obviously, Ben Hunt and Mitchell Pearce stood up for their respective clubs. What did you make of Cooper Cronk and Matt Moylan?
Yeah, they were okay, Ray. I mean, Cronk, I guess there's a lot of expectations of Cooper Cronk. But look, you know, welcome to the real world, Cooper. Welcome to life, Billy and Sam around, you know. It's true, you know. Whenever he was a little bit off, the others stood up. Even Melbourne yesterday, they had no Cronk there, obviously, and no Slater, and they still got the job done. I think it's the 14th successive year that Melbourne Storm have won.
Extraordinary, isn't it?
In round one. So they just have that incredible ability and knack to get points in the bank before they lose a lot of those players to Origin.
And Moylan? Sorry, Jimmy?
Yep.
Yeah, Moylan, he was okay. Ray, you know, it wasn't a bad game up there. The Sharks had a fair old crack, but it's going to take time for some of these players. And look, the scrutiny on rugby league these days is incredible, and the pressure is there for every player that changes clubs when they turn up that first game.
It's interesting, you know, we had it earlier with Zorba, and I think, Ray, you made the comment of maybe Matty Moylan trying too hard.
Yeah.
No such thing.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
If you're the coach, you're disappointed that he's making
cliche.
Those mistakes.
Yeah, you want him doing that, don't
absolutely.
You want him having a go.
And that's Matt Moylan.
You don't
for
want him standing back and not getting involved.
And Matt Moylan will never do that. And games on the line needs to be won.
And
he's trying to throw the
and
great
he'll
pass.
Win games for you doing that.
That's exactly right. So that's what I take out of that one. They'll improve. They'll improve. They're a good side, the Sharks. Don't worry about it. They lost Luke Lewis. I know Michael Morgan was out. They lost Luke Lewis just before the game started. Paul Gallen came from the bench. And for all intents and purposes, they should have nearly won that game. Okay. Righto, let's have a look. This is going to be absolutely huge, Dino. Panthers up against Parramatta. From what I understand, there's a couple of tickets available, but you have to stand behind the goalpost.
Either end.
Everything corporate sold out. Every seat is sold out. How do you see this playing out? Any changes that we might have to the Panthers and Parramatta?
Yeah, not a lot, Jimmy, given it's round. When I checked in actually this morning, no changes. It was David Gower and Kayser Pritchard. They're going to drop off the Parramatta bench over at Penrith there. Nothing either, mate. They're going to be a 1-7. It's Jared Haynes, 200th NRL game. Not much has been written about that this week. So it's going to be a big day for Jared Haynes. The pressure will be on. It will be immense. It will be intense. A sellout crowd. And it's going to be an absolutely blockbusting game out there in Western Sydney.
Who do you like, Dino?
I like the Eels, right? I think they're going to be a really good football team this year. I've got them in my eight. The Panthers, I thought last year, were bitterly disappointing. I had them as a top four contender last year, and they just didn't aim up. Look, I think the mail about Gould and Griffin is right. Certainly what I'm hearing through the grapevine is that there's a little bit of tension out there at the foot of the mountain, so they can't be good going into round one. And look, it's a big year. If Penrith don't make an impact again this year, that's Gus's 8th year, I think, at the helm out there. And, you know, we all know he's a brilliant football brain, Phil Gould. But if they don't make top four or win it, yeah, questions have got to be asked.
Jared Hayne will eat that pressure for breakfast.
He'll love it.
Like, seriously, he played Origin as a 19-year-old. Mm. He played for San Francisco in the NFL. Like, with due respect, he's playing centres for the Parramatta Eels today. He will eat that for breakfast, that 200 game. There might be a little bit of a change with the Panthers. Hearing Viliama Kikau might get subbed out for James Fisher-Harris in the 17th. So just a little bit of a change there. But that's going to be a fascinating game. I couldn't believe the price Parramatta were, and that's certainly come back.
Yeah, right now. They're right. Parramatta are favourites.
Yeah,
now.
We think you got it right. Titans-Raiders, Dino?
Yeah, that's a 6:30 game at Seabus. Again, Jim, I've checked in with both those clubs. All impact the Raiders, 1 through 17 for the Titans. Anthony Don had a bit of a shoulder problem, but they say he'll be okay, mate. So no changes to the Titans either.
All right. Any other news around?
Yeah, there are some information around Jimmy at the moment. Regan Campbell-Gillard, we've just spoken about the Panthers. He comes off contract this year. There's a lot of interest in this bloke. He played for Australia last year. A few suggestions around that the Panthers may have a real fight on their hands to keep him. And we all know that Penrith, at this point, having lost Peachy and Moylan, et cetera, they just can't afford to lose another big gun. But watch this space when it comes to Campbell-Gillard, mate, because I'm hearing there's some clubs very, very interested in him. Now, Peter Beattie, the new boss of the ARL Commission, I'm hearing he wants to take a test match up to Townsville. So watch for North Queensland to get a test match. And the Canterbury Leeds Club elections are on. We just had the football club elections, of course, recently, where the board got ruthlessly voted off out there. The Leeds Club elections come up on the 21st of March, so watch for more headlines there. Some of the candidates running are George Papomas, all done, Steve Mortimer, and Gary McIntyre. So I think you'll find there'll be more fireworks at Belmore leading up to those March 21 elections.
Hasn't there? There has been a test match for the Kangaroos up at Townsville previously. That's when they started. That's when they started singing "Ay yippee yippee ay ay" when they won the game.
Yeah, it went down well with the Blues, that one.
Didn't it?
Yeah, luckily, there was only one player in there.
I think it was about Gal, and that was about it. End of season test.
Gal, Jimmy? Could you imagine they might have just grated on him? You know what he's like? Such a passionate Blues fan, such a winner.
Absolutely.
Every second of that.
Good on you, Dino. We appreciate that. We'll speak again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
See you, Dino. There he is, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, with all the latest. Up next, Nathan Brown from the Newcastle Knights.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Oh, it was a scriptwriter's dream, wasn't it? The start for the Newcastle Knights, for Mitchell Pearce.
Everyone's second favourite
side, particular,
too,
and yeah, there they are. They're certainly forcing their way into the hearts and minds of every other league follower. They're certainly in the hearts and minds of everyone up there in the Hunter. And this man is front and centre, their coach Nathan Brown. He's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Nathan.
How are you guys? All right?
Yeah, we're really well. How's the town after that? Well, it was a special way to start the season.
Yeah, it was a good way to start. Mitchell, obviously, being a high-profile recruit, kicking the winning field goal. The Golden Point was probably quite a fitting way for the game to unfold, I suppose.
Yeah, Nathan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. As Jimmy said, you couldn't have scripted it better, but obviously the 2 points is in the bag. That's first and foremost from any coach's perspective. But, Nathan, what were the things you took out of that game that pleased you most about the Knights' performance?
Oh, one thing we sort of got right most of the time last year, we thought we sort of built a good foundation for competing, and then with bringing in a bit more quality players or more experienced players, one thing we didn't want to lose was that sort of hopeful of sort of still bringing that to the table each week. And I think we showed that the guys have still got that good competitive bit. And then, we've got that little bit of extra experience and probably a little bit more class there, which, the guys can put themselves in situations. Hopefully we can, win our share of our close games opposed to losing.
Yeah.
Mm. Every coach has got problems. This is the problem I see you have, but it's a good problem, Nathan, so we'll go through it. I thought Brock Lamb was really good when he came on the field. I thought Connor Watson was very dangerous when he went to dummy half, and I thought Slade Griffin was excellent at dummy half and hooker when he was on the field. So how do you work that out moving forward?
Well, I got asked that same question yesterday, and obviously, you know, Slade was really, really good for us. We probably thought, as from the staff's point of view, we probably thought he was our best player as a whole, we thought. And Connor did really well, as you said, and Brock did really well. And, you know, what's the right balance there? And that I honestly can't sit here today and tell you that I know. I don't think anyone knows, but I just know they're all good little players. They all bring different things to the table, and you know, we've just got to sort of manufacture a way to try and get them all on the field at the right times and give them all a good shot at it. But how all that unfolds, as I said, it's anyone's guess, but we're grateful to have them all with us.
Nathan, obviously there's a lot of scrutiny on Mitchell Pearce, as always has been right throughout his career. Can you give us an insight as to his impact on the playing group and just what he brings to your club this season?
Look, all the guys we've recruited have all come from good clubs. They've had, you know, whether it, you know, in Tau and Herman, they've probably only been at Brisbane for 40 or 50 odd games. But, you know, all the guys have come from clubs where they're used to winning, you know, a larger majority of their games. You know, all from top four clubs. But, you know, coming with that, they've obviously played with some good senior players, or have been good senior players themselves, and they've generally obviously had some sort of decent coaching along the way as well. So, you know, all of them will bring, you know, a fair bit to the table. For us, in Mitchell's case, he obviously brings a little bit more as far as on-field leadership goes because of the position he plays, and I suppose the fact he's done that for New South Wales in the grand final. You like to think that, you know, we keep getting in these situations and the boys do a good enough job that, you're hopeful that more often than not those type of players can get you across the line. And in the game the other day against Manly, you know, I think Baz said after the game himself in the press conference that, you know, they won four or five of those last year themselves, and DCE was the one that was getting them home. So you're really hopeful that they do that for you. And, you know, at this stage, Mitchell's had one go at it for us and got us home once, you know, but he needs a lot of teammates around him to help us get in that situation.
Yeah, nailed the first field goal attempt too, didn't he? I don't know how that one missed, but anyway.
Well, I thought that was over. I thought that one went over too, so when did go over? Oh, no.
Yeah, you weren't on your own. Plenty of fans at the stadium thought the same. I think there's a level of responsibility, Nathan, which comes with your position with a player like Kalyn Ponga. You look at him to see not that experienced at NRL level, to come in and play a position at fullback, new club, high-pressure game, et cetera. I think this guy is very, very special. Do you feel that responsibility?
Oh, look, it's one of those ones where I suppose the only way to, at Kalyn's age, where he's at, as obviously with his talent, is to play. And playing in the lower grades now for him is a waste of time. You know, he needs to play against the better players in the game. And coming with that, there's going to be the obvious pressure of the hype around him, which I think he probably showed the other night, justifying that hype. But what comes with it is a bit of a target on your medal. And the more he plays and the better he gets, the more the opposition coaches and players are going to target him, because that's what happens when you're not only a good younger fullback, but your Billy Slaters and those guys, you know, they cop their share of stick, and, you know, you need your sort of senior players and bigger forwards to help look after him a bit. And obviously, he showed the other day, you know, he copped one or two knocks and he still got up and competed well, and that's just something I suppose he's going to learn a bit from the media sort of thing. He handles the media very well, and, you know, I think we do have some sort of obligation for all the fans to get to know these guys as well. So how much do they do and how much should you allow them to do? I'm not sure I know what the perfect answer is, but I think keeping them away for it's not the right thing, and probably letting them do too much is probably not right either. But, yeah, there's a lot to go on for young Kalyn, but he's very level-headed. He's handling himself pretty well, and I'm sure along the way he'll have some real highs. And as Billy Slater and the players who are obviously at the head of the field in those positions, they've had their bad days too, and that's just a part of maturing and growing.
Should he be backflipping off his roof into the pool?
Well, as I said to someone, Jimmy, if that's the worst thing he does while he's at the night, I think...
good answer.
That's not a bad way to look at it.
And we actually have to be mindful, he is only a kid. He's still nice. He's only 19, so...
He's still a teenager, Jimmy. If he can do it...
Some of the stuff you did, Brownie,
Well, hey, Jimmy, I don't think we'll go
going to what we do. I take we too there, Jimmy.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
Oh, Nathan, we've got to get on you again. We'll explore that down the track. But one quick one, Nathan. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of people have Newcastle as their second side. There's a sense something is building at Newcastle this season. For Nathan Brown, what's the pass mark for the season?
Oh, look, we're still in a situation, obviously, having so many new players, but we've still got some areas on our squad where, we're very happy with where we are today compared to where we were this time last year. We feel we've obviously made a lot of progression there, but, we've still got, in our plan, we'd like to bring in a couple more players at a pretty sort of reasonable date yet to give us probably what we'd like to think is a bit more quality in some areas. But as we stand at the moment, look, the big key for us is to keep competing each week, and given, your Mitchells and Kalen and these blokes that are having a bit of class or a bit of experience in these key positions, an opportunity for us to win our share of games. Now, where that takes us, it's probably anyone's guess, but, this time last year I thought we were a fair bit better team than we were the year before, and same again this year. I think we're obviously a fair bit better than what we were this time last year, so... We've just got to keep making those sort of big jumps each year. And at the end of the day, I think everyone's goal in this field we're in is to try and win the grand final at some stage. Yeah. That's what everyone's got to be hoping for at the end of the day, or we're not in the right business. Yeah, now, that's obviously not our target at the moment, but that's got to be the end result unless we're in the wrong game.
Mm. Exactly.
How many spots you got available? How much cash you got under the cap?
Oh, look, I wouldn't even know. Moons does all that. I just know that we've got some good room there for a couple more high-quality players in certain areas where we think we can strengthen and which can add to our squad. That's all Moons tells me. He doesn't tell me what the number is. He keeps it with he's got a big bolt on it, Moons. He keeps it off the way.
Hey, Nathan, it's been great to have you on. We've got to get you back on because I want to learn more about my man used to do Jimmy Smith when he was playing. You've whetted the appetite now.
He better be careful. He don't want to go throwing too many stones.
Exactly. He's got you pegged, Jimmy.
Oh, mate. Hey, look, you're up there after a first-round win. The sun is shining. The birds are singing.
He's been told to be like that.
How good. Yeah. Fantastic, Brownie. Great game on Friday night too, by the way, from a spectator point of view. And good luck.
Watch.
Good luck for the next game against the Canberra Raiders.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nathan.
There he is, Nathan Brown. Good with his time.
You'd love to
good
see him
chat.
Do well, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting. They got space under their cap.
Any thoughts there, Jim?
Oh, could be anyone. Mm. Could be anyone at any time.
Yep.
You know, there'll be some falling out that happens that if you put it into a trade window.
Correct.
At the end of June, that'd be really interesting. Mm. Newcastle Knights might get an injury and they say, well, they really need an outside back. Who's a disgruntled outside back at another club? Or
David back row or something.
David Norfoluma can't get a start at the West Tigers.
Yep.
Does he go to all that. I think that's fascinating. But anyway, and if you formalise it, you can do something special on that one. Mm. Anyway, Trent Lanscale is from tab.com.au and he is going to join us just after this break.
Great news! The Sky Sports Radio tipping competition is back and the prizes are better than ever. In fact, there's a trip to Hong Kong up for grabs. Register now at bigsportsbreakfast.com.au. Thanks to Fox Sports and Ambassador Travel.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
News Hour on Racing HQ brings you breaking news, interviews and Tuesday track work notes from Lizzie Gels.
How is she for tomorrow?
She's ready to race. We made the choice to wait for Hugh to return from suspension. He's a big part of her success.
Keep up to the mark with what's happening in racing with News Hour. Tuesday to Friday mornings on Racing HQ at 9. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
It's
yearling sale time, and dynamic syndications will be active again at all major sales. As primary syndicator for the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott stables, we invite you to join us as together we aim at massive prize money. Our family operated business has been involved with 13 Group 1 wins, including the Cox Plate, Golden Slipper, Caulfield and Rosehill Guineas, Blue Diamond, and many more. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com, follow us on social media, or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08. I wrote this song just looking at you. Oh, yeah, the drums, they swing low, and the trumpets, they go.
Tell me it doesn't get you dancing,
don't you, James?
Tell me it doesn't get you dancing, Ray Thomas. I can almost hear him dancing.
Trent would be singing.
Would you singing or dancing, Trent?
There's a bit of movement, fellas. Good morning.
It's a bit too much information, Trent. We are still on a very family-friendly time slot.
Jason Derulo, he's got the tunes, don't worry.
Okay. Hey, he performed after the Everest.
He did.
Place,
he was
Jason Derulo. Yeah. Maybe we could get Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au to perform.
They wouldn't fit. They had to close the gates.
That's right.
Yeah.
Close the gates. Now, National Rugby League's on. Penrith are up against the Parramatta Eels this afternoon, Trent.
This should be an absolute rip of fellas. We'll have a good look at this, and then Gold Coast Canberra as well. But you called it last week, fellas. When we opened betting in mid-October, Penrith were $1.70 favourites, Parramatta $2.15. As of now, Penrith $2 outsiders, Parramatta $1.80 favourites.
About right.
With the long one and a half, I was just about to ask that in respect to that rate. Perhaps at Penrith overs now at the $2.
Yeah, well, I'll have a little something on that.
Well, he's a Panthers fan, so I don't believe any of that.
He's fishing for a price. What about Gold Coast and Canberra, Trent?
Well, you've got Gold Coast $2.25 and Canberra $1.65. The line's 2.5 there, so that's the 6:30 game tonight. And Canberra have a decent record against the Titans. They've won 4 of their last 6, and the last 2 times they've been the Cbus Super Stadium, they've won both times. Imagine this time last year, Jimmy, they were a hot flavour in regards to the Premiership, and they've just sort of gone under the radar so far.
Josh Hodgson injury is a bit of a concern for them in terms of running the side. Get the ball to the right-hand side. Jordan Rapana, $7 first try scorer. Joey Leilua out there as well. But Jordan Rapana, $7 first try scorer. I like the look of that. South Africa, Australia. We're on again at 7 p.m.
This will be a pivotal first session, especially right with South Africa $1.50, the draw $11, and Australia $3. Australia were favourites heading into the first day, then South Africa were the favourites heading into day two. So really reckon, fellas, that South Africa, they only lead by 20 runs, so obviously AB de Villiers is the big wicket.
Yeah.
But perhaps Australia at the $3, guys, I reckon that they only have to put up a lead of around about 200, and it's going to be tricky for South Africa batting on the fourth innings.
We heard from Barry Richards earlier, Trent, there's nothing between these two teams. It's a compelling test series. EPL tonight, Arsenal v Watford.
Yeah, this is the first of the two games, Ray. Arsenal $1.47 at home to Watford. Arsenal, they haven't been in the greatest form in the EPL, but they should be too good for Watford, you would imagine. They did get some form during the week with a Europa League win away to AC Milan. And then 3 o'clock in the morning, Tottenham $1.50. They're away to Bournemouth, and they're still getting over their European exit against Juventus in the Champions League during the week. But they've never lost to Bournemouth, so they're $1.50 away there. There's plenty else happening, fellas. NBA, the JLT series in the AFL preseason, and also, Ray, Roger Federer. He'll be on court at the Indian Wells Masters around about 2 o'clock this afternoon. You can watch that while you're on the way to Panthers Stadium. So
couldn't go a show without hearing that at some stage.
He's back. So you can check out all those markets and plenty more, tab.com.au.
And Trent, there'll be a capacity crowd out there at Vitality Stadium, AFC Bournemouth's home ground. 11,500 people at Holt.
Won't mention Carlton beating Hawthorn last night.
Pre-season, Ray.
So I'll take anything. Hey. I'll take anything.
If he calls them the Blue Boys, they're in grey.
Yeah.
I know, they were,
The grey boys.
Blue that Boys looked, won.
Looked awful.
Trent, I'm with you. Pre-season counts for nothing.
Confidence building. Good on you, Trent. Talk
thanks,
next
guys.
Week, eh? See you, mate.
Movement from Trent Lanscale earlier today, which was fascinating. 1353-53, the Apple line number. I tell you, it's good to have him back.
It's good to have Scotty Foster
Scotty
back.
Foster, yeah. There he is, the man himself. Hey, Scotty!
Good morning, boys. It's great to be back, and rugby league back. Everything's happening. And, boys, this is our 16th straight year with Sky Sports Radio.
Wow.
And we're looking forward to another big year. But more importantly, we're looking forward to helping a lot more listeners find that vehicle that they've been looking for.
Can we get a strike rate going for us? See how many... You mentioned a car on a Sunday. How many times we sell it?
Yeah, I reckon I'd be nudging 60% now, I reckon.
Let's 60%. Keep a tally for 2018.
Yeah, okay, we'll see how we go.
All right. Well, boys, I'm hoping this one's going to be for someone because we're starting the year off with a bang. It's a beautiful 2014 FG Falcon. It's an absolute gem and it's cheap. It's a 2014 FG Falcon sedan with a 2-litre turbo EcoBoost engine, so it's economical for a big car. It's very reliable and, of course, it's safe for the whole family. This one has logbooks with service history. It's been meticulously looked after. This is one great car, and we are unbelievably selling it today for just $8,990. Now, this is a 2014 FG Falcon in sensational condition for just $8,990. You just can't buy these cars for this price. So don't miss out. Go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call now on 963-750-24. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio to get this unbelievable price because it is advertised for $10,000 on the website. So you need to mention Sky Sports so we know where you're from. And we can keep a tally on how many cars we do sell this year.
Right. Yeah, big okay. discount there. And if any potential buyer is looking for some finance packages, you've got some great ones available, Scotty.
We certainly do. Like if you're after finance for this car or any of our cars, we've got great finance packages available. But we can also help people that have